Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Bet by the two dots, two lines from the bottom. It says, Asara Dvarim Shal Alexandros Mokdon et Ziknei HaNegev. There are 21 questions that were posed by Alexander the Macedonian, otherwise known as Alexander the Great, that he posed towards Ziknei HaNegev, the elders of the south. Amar Lehen. He said to them, Min HaShamayim La'aretz Rachok O Mizrach LeMa'arav, which is further apart, from the earth until the heavens, or from east to west? So Amru Lo, his wise men said to him, Min Mizrach LeMa'arav, certainly from east to west is a much further distance. Teda, we can prove it. Sherei HaChama BeMizrach HaKol Mistaklim Ba. When the sun is on the eastern side, anybody can look at it. Chama BeMa'arav HaKol Mistaklim Ba. Everybody can look at it over there. Chama BeEmtza Rakia, when the sun's in the middle of the sky, not everybody can look at it. It's so bright you can't look at it. So it must be that the heavens are closer to the earth than the distance between Mizrach and Ma'arav, east and west. Chamim Omrim, on the other hand, the Chamim suggests, Zeh v'zeh ke'achad shavin. They're both equal, because they quote the Pasuk in Tehillim. It's actually two Pasukim in a row. It's Pasuk Yud-Alef and Yud-Bet. In Perek Kuf Gimel, Shneemar ki kiboa shamayim ala aretz, like the distance between shamayim v'aretz. Actually missing some of the pasuk here. So if you look up in the bet in the Shita Mekubetzet, it says, Gavar chasto al yireyav. So just like the distance between Shemaim and Aretz, in the same way or in the same quantity, Hashem allows his chesed to be in abundance towards those that fear him. And then the pasuk afterwork says, Kirchok mimizrach mimarav, hirchik mimenu et pisha'inu. And like the distance between east and west, he pushes away or distances our iniquities. If one of them is a greater distance, then why did you use both of them? If you're trying to give an example of a certain distance, if one of them had been a greater distance, then that should have been the parable that was used in both instances. The fact that the Perek Tehillim uses these two different parables right in a row indicates that they must be equal. Well, the claim of the Greek advisors is very good, which is that if you believe that the sun is further, or the distance of the sun is the same when it's in the east and the west versus when it's up in the center of the sky, why is it that it's much more difficult to look at the sun when it's in the center of the sky than when it's on the edge of the sky? In the middle of the sky, it's fully exposed, and when it's fully exposed, it's very hard to look at. And it's already on the east and the west, then it's somewhat obstructed in its view. Or those that say here, because there are mountains in between, there are other things that block the view towards the sun, or because the sun is dropping below the horizon, so the obstructive view makes it easier to look at the sun. So the Chachamim disagreed with his Greek advisors about that distance. They prove it from the Psukim in Tehillim. So Amarlan, Alexander the Great says to them, the Chachamim, a second question, Shemayim Nivru Tchila or Aretz? Was the heavens created first or the Aretz? The Mefarish here says that the question is, was the Shemayim first or were the Shemayim v'Aretz together? Marsho says that he doesn't think that that has to be. It could be a simple question. Did the Shemayim come first or the Aretz come first? Samru, oh, they said back to him, Shemayim Nivru Tchila. The heavens for sure were created first. Shemar Breshit Bara Elokim et Hashamayim ve'et Haaretz. And then Chachamim here are reading, or it seems to be reading the word Breshit, meaning Barishona, in the first place. Bara Elokim et Hashamayim, and then afterwards Haaretz. So then the third question that he asked them, Amar Lahen, Or Nivrat Chila or Choshek Nivrat Chila? Was the light created first or darkness created first? Samrulo Milta Da in La Patar. There is no answer to this question. V'nivmrulei, so why don't they answer like they did in the previous case? Choshech nivrat chila, that darkness was created first. Dichtiv, aretz hayta tova vo, v'choshech apnei tehom. Hadar, and then only afterwards, v'yom elokim, yihior, v'yihior. Clear that the choshech was there before, Hashem said yihior. Savre, they started to worry. Dilma ati lishule, maybe you start to ask questions, malamala, malamata, malifnim, malachor. They thought that he would start to get a little more involved in maseh breshit, and start asking questions about what was before God, what was before creation, things that they really didn't want to delve into with him. See, achi, if that's the case, shemayim nami lo nimrele. Why did they answer the question about Shemaim? Then you have the same problem there. It's doing Maseh Breshit. So Mikara Savure Krai Ba'amahu Dekoshoyel. They thought it originally when he asked the question, it was just a random question that he asked. But came into Chazud Dekahadar Shoyel when they saw that he asked multiple questions about Maseh Breshit. Sabre Lo Neimule. Dilma Ati Lishule. Mala 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 Mata Mala Lifnei Mala Achor. But after he continued to question or query about Maseh Breshit, they didn't want to continue to answer because they were afraid of what would come about from this. The Marsha says something interesting. He says that the conception of darkness between Greeks and the Jews is what led to this problem over here. That we believe that Choshech is not just the absence of light, but rather Choshech is a creation by itself. And therefore, the question when you ask which is created first, darkness or light, they were going to answer darkness, but darkness is a real creation. On the other hand, the Greek conception of darkness is just the absence of light, so there can't be a creation of darkness. It had to be that light was first. So therefore, they didn't want to get involved in that philosophical discussion because they didn't feel he would understand conceptually the idea that darkness was a creation and not simply a lack of light. So on the other hand, Idin Mitkari Chachim, who is called a Chacham? So this is the fourth question that Alexander Great poses. What is a Chacham? Who's really a chacham? That was someone who anticipates the future, anticipates what's going to happen. Who's called someone who is a strong, a warrior? Gibor is someone who is able to withstand his inclinations. Who's someone who's called wealthy? That's someone who is happy with his lot, he's satisfied with his lot. What should a person do in order to live a long life? That he should, according to the Mefarash here, humble himself. That he should lower himself down. He should not be haughty in any way. And then the opposite question, number 8, is if a person doesn't want to live a long life and he's going to want to kill himself in a sense, then what should he do? So this is the opposite. He should be haughty. According to the Mefarash, he'll be an ayin hara. He keeps a high profile. People will be jealous of him, and they'll have an ayin hara, and he'll die. Now, question number 9. What should a person do to be accepted by people in general, to be popular? They should hate the king and dominion. The Mefarash explains it means that he should not to be in the position of power, because then people will be jealous of him and his abilities and what he can do. He should keep a low profile, again, as similar to the previous answer that they gave him. Don't get involved in positions of authority. He should stay a simple person. And then he answers back to them, I have a better answer than you. He should love to be in positions of authority. And those positions of authority, he'll be able to be benevolent, like be a benevolent ruler, and people would appreciate that. He can do good to people. He can be a Baal Tzedakah, Baal Chesed, by doing good and taking care of those people that are out there. Or the way the Mefarash explains it is that he can then speak up on behalf of the people or the people's issues, and he can help them out. And then the final question is, is it better to live out in the ocean, or is it better to live on dry land? It's clearly better to live on dry land. Anybody goes out, a seafarer, their mind is not at ease until they return to dry land. So you see that dry land is the better of the options. Now what's interesting here, I'll just point out a couple of things. One is, he asked them three questions. One is, Ezu Chacham, Ezu Gibor, and Ezu Ashir, which is the Mishnah and Avot, Perek Daled. It's interesting that of the three answers, they only give two that are found in the Mishnah and Avot. Ezu Ashir and Ezu Gibor, they answer similar to that, but with Ezu Chacham, they do not answer like they do in the Mishnah and Avot. Mishnah Avot says, Ezu Chacham is Alomed Mikol Adam, someone who learns from everybody. Over here, they say Ezu Chacham, someone who's Ruet Anulad, someone who anticipates the future. That's one interesting thing. Right, so that's earlier in the second Perek, but that's about Ezuhu, Derech She'avor Ba'al Adam. What's the way that a person should pick in life? Over there, the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he asked them which way to pick, and then Rabbi Shimon says, Haroyat HaNolad is the best way to be. But that's not in the context of Chacham. That's in context of how to conduct oneself in life. That's one thing to note. The other one is, HaKovesh HaTitzro, it's interesting, the Rosh over here, he says that HaKovesh HaTitzro is that he stops himself from his inclinations to sin, but he also says, Umlichos, I'm getting angry. So HaKovesh HaTitzro is not only about not sinning, but also the sin in terms of midot, that a person should not get angry. And then he says, a sameach b'chalko. What is a sameach b'chalko? The Rosh says is that he's happy with his lot, b'mamon, that with his monetary lot, dehin b'isha, and with his wife. He's happy with both of those. And then for later on, when the Mefarash said about the idea of what should a person do in order to live a long life, it says over there that yamit atzmo. The Mefarash explained yamit atzmo with yashpil atzmo. He should make himself humble. The Rosh explains, yitarech b'malacha. He should work hard in order to make a parnasa. That this is beneath me. And he shouldn't draw himself after the good life. And he should push himself to learn Torah. And therefore he'll live in this world and the world to come. The simpler way to understand is, what does it mean that if you want to live a long life, live a long means that when you succeed at being in Olam Haba, what you should do is, you should memit atzmo, from the Gemara that says, Zot HaTorah Adam Ki Amut Ba'el, that where is Torah mitkayim, but Adam shemimita, it's mo'ala. That person who diminishes their tanugim, their pleasures in this world, and does what's right in this world, they will succeed in the world to come. And the opposite is true the other way. If he says, what happens if a person wants to lose the olam haba? They should enjoy this world. They should take all the benefits from this world. With regards to the monarchy, over here where they said, well, what should they do in terms of staying away from bad things? And he says, the way Mefarish explained it again was that they should not, the Ayin Hara will get to them if you get involved in areas of authority. The Rosh again explains, Klomar yitrachek min harishut, pen yalilu alav, v'yachshidu abnei adam, shemalshino moser memonam. So people will be suspicious that he is a moser, that he's causing problems for them and getting them in trouble, and that will cause them to not be liked by people. And his answer, obviously, is the other possibility, which is be benevolent. It doesn't mean you have to be bad when you're in power. You could be good when you're in power. And then there's a Lishna Achrina, he brings down, Yisnam al kovah shultin yivrach min asrara, ve'yanna v'shafel ruach, ve'ezim mekubal al abriyot. The person should get away from positions of authority and dominion, because then people will like him, because he won't, not again, humbleness, but just because people like people of their own type. They don't people like people who lord over them. Now, the Marsha claims Alexander the Great was a Talmid of Aristotle. He was a student of Aristotle. There he says it directly as a student. I think maybe from the school of thought of Aristotle. The other thing is that Alexander the Great asked questions about Gvura. He asked questions about Chokhmah and Ashirut and wealth. So this is the Greek conception of the world, which is that it's all about the worship of the human himself and about the how successful is the individual. So Alexander the Great is expecting the Chachamim here to answer him when he says, who's the greatest warrior? Who's the richest man? Who's the most brilliant man? He's expecting them to come and praise Alexander the Great. And instead, each time they answer him in the Jewish conception of what a Chacham, Ashir, and a Gibor is, not the Greek conception. And here there's a battle of philosophies that's going on. Again, the idea of Mizrach Marav versus Shemayim Varetz, they're suggesting that to the heavens isn't so hard, from east to west is much harder. I mean, the idea of human conquest is much greater than the connection to God. Again, the Chachamim say that they're equal. Shemaim is before, or the Aretz is before. Which comes first? And so again, the Chachamim answer Shemaim, that Hashem and looking up to the heavens is more important. So all the answers here is a philosophical battle about what is the proper way to view the world. And so the Chachamim each time are answering him in a way that gives the Jewish view or the Jewish conception versus the way that the Greeks look at the world or their worldview. It's a nice way to probably lay out the numbers of questions that he's asking and the differences in their answers. The last of the one about the king, which is interesting, is that the idea in question number 9, where he says that a benevolent dictator can really do good, it happens to be. It's a very nice answer, but I guess Chachamim are arguing that that's not the normal way. Most dictators that we know that power corrupts, and therefore most times people have power do not act in a benevolent way. So it is wonderful when there is a benevolent dictator, but that's not always what happens. And so therefore, better off to stay away from that than rather to get involved and then claim that you're going to do it because you really want to be good to people. All right, so now the conversation continues between them. It says, Amar lehen, idin minchon chachmin yatir. Which one of you is the smartest among you? And thinking that the answers that they're giving over here in terms of the philosophy is coming from the smartest one, and then he can just deal with that one person. Amar lo, kulnano kechada shavyan. We all have the similar view. I mean, this is not just the view of a single individual. This is the view of the Jews in general. And therefore, we all come with a single mind. We're not individuals, but that's the power of Klal Yisrael, that we are all together, and we all see the world in the same way. Any question that you asked us, we all agreed, and we have a consensus about the answer. So what is this that you are acting improper towards me? And the Mefarish over here claims that he said, why don't you worship the same God that I worship? The Marsha says he doesn't see that as being the pshat here, and I seem to agree with him that he says, basically, you guys did not praise me. I was asking all these questions about Chacham, Gibor, and things that I expected an answer back that he would say me, and instead you gave me a different answer. So you're like, Marid b'malchut, you're deserving of death. Malay, sidna natzach, that the Satan always wins. The Mefarish explains here, how come you are the minority? If you have the right answer and you have the right God, why are you the minority and I am the majority? So they say to him, the answer is sidna natzach, that every day the Satan wins. Even though the Satan's in the wrong and he's trying to create wrong, he still wins. He's successful. It's not right. There's no proof just because there's a majority or more people do this, that's the right way to be. Because even the Satan is successful more times than he's not. Nevertheless, we know that's not the right way to be. So Amar lehen, and now the Girsa takes out Hana, Mekatlinan Yachon, Bigzerat Malkin. You deserve to die because of your answers and because you were murid b'machot. So Amulei, they said back to him, Shaltan b'yad Malka, you're right, the power is with the king. Lo yila Malka, it's not proper for a king, the kazav, that he should lie. So the assumption is that when you get into a debate with the king, the stronger party promises the weaker party that he won't hurt them, he won't affect them. So you gave your word that you wouldn't attack us, you wouldn't hurt us. And so it's improper for you not to keep your word. You do have the power, but your power also demands that you act in a proper way. A proper way is to uphold your word. So Mad Abish Yaton Levushin de Argavan, right away he put them in clothes of Argaman, of wool, Vyashadi Minichu Dava Atsavayon. He put gold necklaces around their necks. So then Beina Deizel Midnat Afriki. He says, I want to go to Africa. Malay Lomatsita Zalt. The Paske Hare Choshek. You're not going to be able to go there, because the hills or the mountains of Choshech separate. Says, I understand that you think that I can't go there, but that's why I'm asking you. If you guys are so smart, I'm asking you. I want to go there, and I want to know the answer. So what should I do? Bring these, they're Libyan, they're Egyptian chamorim, the parshe behavra, they're able to travel in darkness. Bring ropes, v'kater b'hai gisa, and tie them, when you leave from this side of the Hare Choshech, tie the rope from where you leave, and take them all the way to your destination. V'chihatit, when you get there, nakta b'gavayu, and when you can use the ropes to guide you, v'atit l'adrach, and then you can use them to get back to where you originally went. Avet hochil, he did this, v'azal, and he got there. Mata l'hu mechuzo, he got to this city, the Kulei Nishay, that was all women. He wanted to wage battle against them. If you kill us, Yomru Nishay Katal, that he went ahead and he attacked a city of women. I mean, what type of warrior is this guy? He goes and attacks women. Ikadin Alach, if we kill you, Yomru Malko de Kadua Nishay, I'm going to say, what type of king is this that women were able to kill him? Samar Lahan, Aitulei Nehemel. All right, bring me some bread to eat. Aitulei Nehemel de Dahava. They brought him golden bread. Apitora de Dahava on a golden table. I mean, what type of bread is this? I can't eat golden bread. They said, we don't understand. We didn't think that you're really asking for real bread, because you had to travel all the way here to Africa to get bread. You don't have enough bread where you came from, that you're coming all the way here just to get bread. So then they said to him, instead, we gave you golden bread because that's what you thought you wanted. You wanted the riches, gold and silver, not that you actually wanted food. Kinafik Vati, when he went away to leave this city, Katava Bava de Mechuza, he wrote on the gate of the city, An Alexandros Mokdon Avai Shatya, I was a fool, Adaati the Medina de Afriki, the Nishaya, the Elephant Eight Simon Nishaya. Got to this city or the state where it was run by women, and I learned or I got advice from the women, and they made me smart. Kishakovati, then when he was on his way back, Yati Vahumayano. He came to this spring. He was eating bread on it. He had in his hand fish, salted fish. And when he was washing or rinsing off the fish to get the salt off of them to eat the fish, all of a sudden they had a nice aroma to them. They had a nice smell to them. Clear that this spring is coming from Gan Eden. Some say that he took that water and splashed his face with it to get that reach tov on his face and on his body. Igdamrei idbei kulei, that he followed the mayan ad damato the pitcha de Gan Eden until he got to the door of the gate. Ramakala, he raised his voice, pitchuli bavo, open up the door to the heaven. Malay, zeashar Hashem, and obviously the most important, but tzadikim yavovo. This is the share to Hashem, only tzadikim can go through it. Malahon, ananami malkano, I'm also a king, let me through. Mikshev chashvina, I'm important king. So Havalei Midu, so he says to me, give me something. So Yahavalei, they throw over the gate, or they give him Galgalta Chado. They gave him one eye socket. Right here, it's an eyeball, but probably an eye socket, because Gulgalta is really a skull. Here you'll see from the following in the story that it's talking about an eye, so it's probably the eye socket. Atya, Takle the Kule Dahava Kaspa Dide. He went and he weighed this eye socket that he got against the gold and silver that he had. Lava Matkale, the eye socket always weighed more. So I'm alone, the Rabbonah, and he went and asked the Rabbonah, my high, what's going on with this? So I'm ready, Gulgalta de'ena, the Bisra v'damo. This is the eye socket, the eyeball of a human being. T'lo kasava, is never satisfied. So I'm alone, mimai, t'hachihau. How do you know that's true? So shakle klile afra, it's no problem. They said they took a little dust, a little dirt, v'kasya, and they covered over the eye, the altar takla, and then the scale went to the other side. Dichtiv, because it says in the pasuk in Mishlei, she'ol, Now, the pasuk in Mishle says va'avado. There's no nun sofit in the pasuk in Mishle. It's she'ol va'avado lo tizbano. And then the latter half of the pasuk, which is the important part, v'nei adam lo tizbano. That she'ol va'avadon, the depths, gehenom, will never be satisfied. And so too, enei adam, the eyes of man will never be satisfied. So that's this idea here that the human condition or the human being is always jealous and always wants more. It's never satisfied. So that was the message that they were giving him from Gan Eden. He should be satisfied. And what the Chachamim had answered him before, which is Ezu Ashir, Asamech Bechalko, not that he should continue his great conquests and try to get more and more gold and silver in order to satisfy himself, because he knew he'll never be satisfied with that, because that's the human beings, the way human beings are. They're never satisfied. The more they get, the more they want. And that's what the message of the women in Africa was as well. And they brought him out the golden bread and the golden table, is that you'll never be satisfied. So they brought him out more gold and stuff, and it still never satisfied him. He says, oh, what are you bringing me? I can't eat this. This idea that he'll never be satisfied no matter how much he took. So Tana de Be'eliyahu, Geinom l'mala min harakia. Geinom is found above the firmament. Some say it's after or behind the mountains, the dark mountains. Tana de Be'erabichia, kol osik b'torah b'layla, shkina k'negdo. Anybody who is learning Torah at night, the shkina is opposite him. Shneamar, so they quote the pasuk from Eicha, kumi roni b'layla, get up and sing a song during the night. Rosh Hashmurot, the beginning of the watch. Shifchi gamayim libech, nochach b'nei Hashem. I'm pouring out my heart like water, opposite Hashem. So nochach b'nei Hashem means that Hashem is opposite him. Kumi roni b'layla can't be talking about tefillah, because as the Mefarish points out, there is no tefillah kavua at night. Because there is no tefillah at night, there's no tefillah kavua, especially at Rosh Hashmurot, which is at the changing of the guards, which is in the middle of the night. Even if you say it's Mariv, it's a Rishut, and it's earlier in the night. So it must be talking about Limud HaTorah, and it says, Nochach Pnei Hashem, that Hashem is opposite this individual. So Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, everywhere else in Shas, it says Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, that Talmidei Chachamim Marvim Shalom Be'olam, they bring peace to the world, Shenemar V'chol Benayach L'mudei Hashem, that all your children will be learning from Hashem, V'rav Shalom Benayach, and there will be much peace amongst your children. Altikra banayich, ela bonayich. Don't tell your children, but bonayich, your builders. Your builders referring to the Talmidei Chachamim. What's interesting here is what's this doing over here? Because this is something that ends Masechtot. So my speculation is that this is the end of the Gemara and Tamid. The remainder of Tamid is all Mishnayot. This is the end of the Gemara, and this probably when it was originally put together, the Gemara was by itself, and therefore this was the Siyum Tamid in the Gemara. And that's why this is found here to end off Tamid on a nice note, even though Masechet Tamid that still has Mishnayot that are remaining with it. And it's true also over here, the Mefaresh, the Perish Mefaresh also ends over here. From here forward, it's the Perish Rambam that's found here on the side of the Mishnayot and not the Perish Mefaresh. So that's another maybe indication that the end of the Masechta was over here. All right, so now we'll just quickly begin the first couple of Mishnayot in the next Perek, and then we'll continue with that tomorrow. So Amar Leim HaMemuneh, Rachu Brachachat. Make one bracha, v'hem barchu, and they said one bracha. Here we're talking about birkat kriyat shema. There are two birkot kriyat shema. There's yotzer or and avar rabba. Yotzer or they could not say because it's actually too early in the morning. It was not daybreak yet, and therefore yotzer or was not right. So they only said avar rabba. In addition, the brachot can be said l'mafreya. Their order is not me'akev. So therefore they left out the bracha of yotzer or, which they'll say later on, and they began with the bracha of avar rabba. And then they said karu aseret ha-dibrot, then read the aseret ha-dibrot, then shema, vayayim shemoa, vayomer, and then you should say the three parshiot of kriyat shema, and then barchu, here is a question about the girsa, whether it's barchu ta'am shalosh brachot, or barchu shalosh brachot, emet v'yatziv, v'avuta, u'brakat kohanim. Alright, so let's understand what they're doing over here. This is very early on. We said before that they left the korban, tamid, the pieces on the ramp, and then they go down to davin, which is appropriate to do before they bring their korbanot. They should be mitpalel. First of all, they're very early in the morning. They're before the zman of kriyat shema. Gemara Brachot says whoever says kriyat shema with the mishmar in the lishkat gazit is not yotze kriyat shema because it's too early in the morning. And therefore, over here, it's the same thing that they would not be yotze, but they do it because that's the proper thing to do. They're not going to have time later when they're doing the avoda, so they do the tefillah first, which is appropriate. So again, they do the tefillah brachot of kriyat shema. They only say avar abba, not yotze or, because yotze or is too early to say. Then they read the Aseret HaDibrot. Aseret HaDibrot was actually part of Tefillah originally. Gemara in Brachot tells us that they were mevatel mipnei taromet haminim. They got rid of the Aseret HaDibrot in Tefillah because they're worried about the minim. The minim, we would say that there are certain parts of the Torah that are more important than other. They would say the Aseret HaDibrot are misinai from Hashem, and everything else is not from Hashem. So therefore, they do not want to single out that part in the Torah. Nevertheless, in the Mikdash, they did say the Aseret HaDibrot because those are the fundamentals of Judaism. Then they said Shema Vayayim Shemo Vayomer, which is Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, Avat Hashem, Yirat Hashem, fundamentals of our relationship with Hashem, as well as the mitzvot and Yitziat Mitzrayim. And then afterwards they said Barchu, they said B'shalosh Brachot, three Brachot. There's a question here in the Girsa of Barchu at the Am, that you should give three Brachot to the Am, which is the Girsa of the Rambam and others. The Rosh eliminates the Girsa of the Am. The problem is here, it says the three Brachot are Emet V'Yatziv, Avoda, and Birkat Kohanim. The problem that arises in both the Rosh and the Rambam over here raised the problem, which is there's no Birkat Kohanim now. The Birkat Kohanim is done much later, after the Avoda, then in the Duchen, they have the Birkat Kohanim. So what are you talking about the Birkat Kohanim over here? So there can't be the explanation that Barchu et Am, that they're giving a bracha to the Am, because that's not the case. So the Rambam solves the problem. It says Barchu et Am is that you should give brachot that are positive towards Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, what are the three things that they said over here? They said, Birkat Emet V'Yatziv, Kal Yisrael. They said the bracha of Ritzei. Now, obviously not the way that we have the bracha of Ritzei, because it says, V'Yashev et Shechinatcha L'Tzion B'Rachamim. There they were in the Mikdash, where the Shekhinah was there already. So they were not saying that bracha, but they rather were saying the Ritzei of Avoda. And then they'd end the bracha with, not HaMachazir Shechinatol L'Tzion, but rather, Shotcha L'Vadcha B'Iran Avod. Or, Baruch Atah Hashem Shochein B'Tzion. One of those two endings that was more appropriate than the ending that we have. And then, Birkat Kohanim. According to the Rambam, the Birkat Kohanim here is not the Yivarech Hashem Vishmech, but rather Sim Shalom, which is also a bracha for Klal Yisrael. So the first bracha would be Emet V'Yatziv, the second bracha would say, which is a tefillah, that Hashem should accept the karbonot of Klal Yisrael. Again, the Rosh says they didn't have time to dive in Shmon Esrei because they had to get back to the Avoda. And then they said, according to the Rambam, Sim Shalom, which was the quote-unquote Birkat Kohanim, which is what we have, the tekuvah, that the response that we have to Birkat Kohanim is Sim Shalom. And so the Rambam says that's exactly what they said over here. They said Sim Shalom, which is a brocha of the Am. The Rambam keeps the girsa emet Am, Barchu et Am. These are the three things that they said that deal with the Am. V'kvar amar nuzeh b'hilchot Yerushalmi, shechibarnu achar kach amru sha'am mivarchim shlosh brachot. The Am says three brachot. Shem emet yatziv v'ritzei umodim v'sim shalom. Defi shekulam tefila al Yisrael. The tefillah for Klal Yisrael, v'lehem amru, Barchu et Am. And that's why it says Barchu et Am according to the Rambam. The Rosh, on the other hand, eliminates the girsa et Am because he says it doesn't belong. There is no Birkat Kohanim. It's not about the Am, but rather Barchu Shlosh Brachot. Break the bracha of the three brachot. The Rosh, on the other hand, explains what the three brachot are here again. Emet V'Yatziv, Ritzei, like we said before. And he says they said Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoteinu. Barchenu B'Bracha. That is what they said over here. He says they never said the brachot of Yirech Hashem Yishmecha. They skipped over that. And then they went on to say Sim Shalom. That's the Rosh's conception of what happened over here. But either way, both agree that there was no Birkat Kohanim that went on over here. U'b'Shabbat, on Shabbat, Mosifim Bracha Achad, the Mishmar Yotzei. And on Shabbat, they used to add an additional Bracha in for the Mishmar that was leaving. They used to switch over the Mishmarot on Shabbat. The Mishmar that was leaving, they used to give them a Bracha. Say, V'amru, Mishmar Yotzei, Omer, the Mishmar Nichnas. The Mishmar that's leaving says to the ones that are coming in, Mishu Shechan Shmo B'Bayit Hazeh, Hu Yashkim B'Nechem Ava V'Achva V'Shalom V'Reyut. The one who put his Shechina here should make peace, friendship, and goodness between you. It's a very interesting part of the bracha. It's the same bracha that we say on Yom HaKippurim, when the Kohen Gadol comes out of the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Over there, in the tefillot that we say afterwards, we describe the day of Yom Kippur. And over there, we say it's a Yom Shel Ahava V'Reyut, that it's a day of love and friendship and goodness. And that's the idea, that the presence of the Shekhinah should lead to goodness between people. Should lead to good things between Ben Adam and Chaviro, not just Ben Adam and Makom. That they should not forget that here they're doing Avodah in the Mikdash and doing Avodah Hashem. They should not focus solely on Ben Adam and Makom and forget about the Ben Adam and Chaviro. But the presence of the Shekhinah should also elevate qualitatively the Ben Adam and Chaviro. And that should lead to Avav Reyut and Achva between the individuals, like it does on Yom Kippur, a day of Kulo Hashem. So too over here, in a place that's Kulo Hashem, it should lead to goodness between people, and that the pettiness and the jealousies and all the negative things that go between people should be forgotten, because if we're always working towards Hashem, then we should all be on the same team at that time. Then they said, and this we know from the Gemara and Yoma and the Mishnayot and Yoma, that those that hadn't brought the Ketoret yet should come, Bovi Pisu, that they should come and draw the lots to see who will bring the Ketoret. Over there, the Gemara explains, because Ketoret was associated with Ashirut, the bracha of wealth, and therefore every Kohen wanted to do it. So therefore only the new one, somebody who hadn't had a chance to do it yet in their lifetime, they were allowed to be in this lot. Zacha Misha Zacha, whoever won that lot, got it. Amalem Chodoshim Im Yishanim, Now, people have succeeded before at getting avoda, and people have not. Back to the lots now again. Who's going to now take up the limbs that they left on the lower half, on the western side of the ramp, up to the mizbeach? They did not have another lot for this. But those Kohanim that were zochet to take it from the time that they quartered the animal to the kevesh, to the ramp, they'll go back now and take it from the ramp up to the mizbeach. They just stopped the davin, but now they're going to go back and finish off what they had started. And Allah is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Masrum l'chazanim. Now that they've gone through the lots about who's going to do avoda, whoever vote was not picked to do avoda that day, they to take off their big day kihuna. They only used to leave on them the shorts or the pants that they were wearing. But just some background here. The Kohen Hedyot wears four bigadim. Those four bigadim are michnasayim, ktonet, avnet, and mitznefet, which is these types of pants, shorts. They have a ktonet, a tunic of some sort. They have a belt, an avnet, and mitznefet is a hat. The order in which those kelim are put on is first the michnasayim are put on, because there it says that nothing should be mafsik between the michnasayim and psaro. So therefore, the michnasayim are put on first. After that, the ktonet is put on, the tunic is put on, obviously before the avnet, because the belt goes around the tunic. And the last thing they put on is the mitznefet. So over here, when they're undressing, it's the opposite way around. They'll take the mitznefet off first, then the belt, then the tunic, and the last thing is michnasayim. But what they did was they put on their big dechol over the michnasayim, and then they're able to remove the michnasayim from underneath the tunic, and not expose themselves, and then put on their michnasay chol. So that was why they did it in this manner. They're saying over here is they came dressed properly to do avoda, because if they were picked, they need to go immediately and do avoda. If they were not picked to do avoda, and they weren't going to do avoda in the mikdash, then they undressed and gave back their big day kuna. The big day kuna, they had each mishmar, had four boxes for their mishbar, on which it was written, avnet, mitznefet, michnasayim, and ketonet. And therefore, when they took off these pieces of clothing, they were put away in the location, which is with the name of the beged that they had on them. They stored them over there. Mi shezacha b'ktoret, the one who was zochet to take up the ktoret, notel et hakaf, he takes this large spoon, v'akaf domeh l'tarkav gadol, equivalent of a large tarkav, something that can hold three kav, shel zahav, it was made out of gold, machzeket shlosha kabim, it was able to hold three kav, v'abazech haya b'tocho. Inside of this spoon was another smaller, whether it's a spoon or receptacle, malei v'gadush, piled up with ketoret. It had a cover, and it had this cover that was a mitutelet, we'll explain one second, above it. So first of all, why they did it in this manner was because to come before Hashem to present something to the king when it looks like it's full and overflowing, that's the proper way to bring in the ketoret. So they didn't want to bring in the ketoret in something that was big, and the ketoret was less than that. So they wanted to bring in the ketoret piled high on a spoon. The problem is if you do that, then some of the ketoret could fall away, and you lose the ketoret. What they ended up doing was having this receptacle or the spoon within a spoon. So therefore, if any of the ktoret fell, it fell into the kaf. And they'd be able to retrieve it and put it back on. But in the meantime, they kept the ktoret inside of something that looked like it was piled high and not fit exactly, in order that it would look like they were giving generously towards Hashem the ktoret. In addition, it says over here at the end that there was a cover to it. What the cover was for is a machloket rishonim, whether the cover was for the bazech, that was something that covered the bazech, or was the cover something for the kaf? Then that's number one. The second machlokas is, what is the cover? Some say that the cover was a piece of cloth, a piece of leather that went on top. Others say the metutela means that it was some sort of ring that was on top of the cover that you were able to pick it up and take it off with. The Rambam, on the other hand, says there were two covers here. There was a cover for the spoon and a cover for the bazech. And that's the two covers here. One of them was the piece of cloth, and the other one was the ring on top, and these two covers went on top of the internal spoon, the bazek, and one other cover went on top of the outer spoon, and that's why they're mentioned over here, that kisui ayalo is for one of them. And then in addition, kamin metutel deyalav milamalan is two separate covers that we're speaking about here. One cover for the bazek, and one cover for the kafel. We'll stop over here and continue with Mishnah Hay tomorrow.